Blog Talk Radio. All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief in the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
All right. We're waiting for Scott Shingledecker to get here, and he'll be here in a minute or so. Happy New Year to everybody.
Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union.
I think we have Mr. Shingledecker. What? Or do we?
I'm sticking to the
Yeah. Okay, Scott.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend. Skip a couple of weeks, and I forget what your phone number is.
You're breaking up a little bit.
I'm always breaking up.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'll turn this down a little bit and see how it goes. We'll keep working. It's progress. If you couldn't even hear me. Excuse me. Got a lot of people in the switchboard. So,
yeah.
Take it away, my friend. Happy New Year to everybody, by the way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Happy New Year to all the listeners. Thanks for calling in, listening, or downloading the show if you choose to do that at a later time.
Yes.
I hope the holidays went well for you and everybody got to bring in a fresh new year. As we look forward to this year, things that we'd like to accomplish. And, of course, one of the things that, you know, we want to do is try to hold our leadership accountable for their actions. So, as always, that's...
I mean, we don't belong to an organization that is against the union. Are you serious?
No.
I thought I read that we did. That we are against being in the union.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are definitely not anti-union. Someone was very, very mistaken.
We do invite him on the show. We'd like to hear his reasons.
Oh.
Wayne thinks
absolutely.
That. Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, we give that individual a standing invitation.
Absolutely.
In fact, I think we did that two or three weeks in a row this last summer too, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we did. He's more than welcome to call in and tell us. We do have a 313 number. Let me get that on. 313, you're on with us.
Hey, it's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Happy New Year, buddy.
Oh, Happy New Year to you. I've been in bed the last 3 or 4 days.
Join the club. I know what it feels like.
Kicking my butt lately.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, boy.
Do we have any emails, by the way?
No, well, we got Merry Christmas and Happy New Year emails, but I sent those out. I answered those personally for the show. We got a lot of those, but no questions. I imagine that'll start next week after everybody gets back to work. And we have 517. Let me get 517. Let me see if I can get it up. I don't even know if I can. It's spinning like a spinning wheel. Leroy, that's your number. I can know your number anywhere. Leroy,
hi.
You're on with us.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. It's always an honor to be here. I understand that somebody said that we belong to the, let me get this right here, that somebody said we belong to the Center for Union Facts and we belong and aligned ourselves with the Mackinac Law Firm. And that we have actively encouraged UAW members to become free riders.
Right.
To paraphrase the comments that were made on the Facebook site. Well, obviously whoever wrote that doesn't really listen to this show, because as the regular listeners, and of course, you know, Scott and Donnie, you both know, and Jeff knows that I in particular have said that if you, and I quote former head coach at Michigan State University when he was leaving his tenure there, he was asked about his contract, and he asked the little reporter there, the young man, very young man, neophyte obviously, but he asked the young man, do you have an individual contract? The young man said no. And then he said, do you belong to a union that has supplies a contract for you? The young man said no. And then he told him, you're a fool. Okay, and I parroted that. Anybody that doesn't have an individual agreement with their employer or belong to a union that supplies a contract with their employer is a fool. If you withdraw from your membership with the UAW, you do not have the privileges of that. Michigan and I believe 34 other union states are at-will states. At will. That means that they can come up to you for no reason whatsoever and discharge you. They do not have to give you a reason. They may have to pay your unemployment for a few weeks, but that's the extent of that. So we're on record as saying that. I believe a couple of weeks ago I paraphrased something that I wrote to somebody's dog's bark, and I'm not sure who.
Yeah.
So,
I put him on mute.
Okay, yeah, we're good. just want to make sure everybody was, you know, on the same page there. So I paraphrased something that I wrote, and I think I said that my friend there from Peoria, actually, he's actually from Detroit, and had liked it. Larry Christensen had liked it. And I found this. Somebody took it down from one of the Facebook pages, but I actually sent it to somebody in email, so I have it. And I'll read it, because I actually have it now, but I paraphrased it a couple of weeks ago. You know, and it says, I quote, when, not if, the UAW, our union, gets back to negotiating in the interest of the members, workers not only around the country but also around the world will be standing in lines miles long just for the privilege of becoming a member of this wonderful union, the UAW. That is our position, brothers and sisters and listeners. If you don't happen to belong to a union, we encourage you to think about that. We know it's difficult these days to organize and become unionized. There's a lot of laws out there on the books at the federal level that really discourage the organization. And if you go on strike, there's laws out there that allow for permanent replacements, and we oppose all of those things. I am on record as not being affiliated with any anti-union law firm.
That's right.
I have taken two lawsuits very high into the federal court system, and I was represented by lawyers from Philadelphia to Washington State, one a law professor who is pro-union, but anti what was being taken away from or withheld from members. So we have not aligned ourselves with anyone. I have talked to a pension rights expert, not from any one of such firms, but from a pension rights organization, to get direction on how to proceed when non-participants are voting on pension plans. And that's protected under ERISA. So just to be real clear what our position, and as I've articulated some of the things that I've done, just to be real clear, we are pro-union, absolutely pro-union. And we have aligned ourselves with 78% of the membership who are disenchanted with the current leadership of this UAW.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. Okay?
Yes.
If there's any alignment going on, that's where it's at.
That's
and
right.
With the rest of the country, with the rest of the country who's sick and tired of being sick and tired of making $9 an hour, and we're sick and tired of the largest employer in this country, when you get hired in, they give you papers to file for welfare. And then they go over there on national media outlets and demean the fact that 47% of the people in this country are on welfare. Half of that 47% work for the largest employer in the country, you know. And they require them to file for welfare, essentially.
Right.
So having said all of that, that's sort of where I'm at with this. I believe you've heard the brothers, Scott and Donnie, both chiming in and here. And so I'm thinking I'm on firm ground here as we discuss this just a little bit. But having said that, that's probably enough said about that. I made a short response to that post, and we'll wait and see. We're not going to say any more about that at this time.
But he's welcome to call the show.
Oh, I'd love to discuss his positions that he thinks that we're on with him. I'd love to do that.
I would, too. We invited him a few other times. He just never came on. And I'd like to welcome Brown from Ford. He's back on the show with us this new year, and he's a real big part of this show. And Teresa Dodge always does a fine job with the Facebook page and getting the information out to the folks. We appreciate that. And she always helps us, by the way, me especially. I appreciate that, Teresa, and Happy New Year to you. And prayers go out to your family, believe me. And Terry Tobias from Flint Truck, he's a contributor to the show, and he works at Flint Truck in the paint department. So he's a good man, and Happy New Year, Merry Christmas to you, too. Brian Keller, he's not here right now, and gosh, so many contributed to the show last year. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas to every one of you. Hope you had a great time off. And Jeff, you sound like you you picked up a bug like I did.
I don't have the bug. It's just my I'm having a fibromyalgia flare up, so I'm just a little tired.
Yeah, that's worse than me. That boy, you take it easy, buddy.
I am. I want to agree with everything that Leroy said, 100%. I have said the same thing to my coworkers, you know, who I am not anti-union, I'm anti-leadership. That's where I stand.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for supporting that.
That's good
my comments.
You're right. Leroy said it all.
Yes, he did.
They just turn it around to make it look like you're against the union, which is you're wrong. Everybody wants to believe in the union and belong to the union, but we have a membership or leadership that is working for the company. It's easy to see, very easy to see.
Yeah,
they turn to a business.
Right.
And
that's
that
right.
is totally wrong.
I don't want to be insensitive to the holiday season. I want to hope that everybody had a wonderful holiday season, Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, whatever you might have celebrated. And also, I hope you're having a happy new year, and I hope that all of your wishes for the new year come to pass for you.
Right.
We have some really nice ones here on the show that we'd like to have come to pass for us. It might take a little while longer. I think it's 2 years and 5 months now for that to occur. But there might be some little, you know, stones in the way of them getting fulfilled in that term yet. So we'll see. So we did. Scott, do you have any more that you had, you're ready to go with there? Or I got a little Volkswagen stuff I could start with.
I was going to really do is kind of touch base a little bit on the temporary.
Okay.
You know, when we talk about the appearance of leadership and their abilities, and in light of the contracts that have been negotiated for the D3, I'd like to say we're still called the Big Three, but they call them the D3 now, which would be Ford and Chrysler and General Motors. In light of the contracts that were passed with the language pertaining to the temporaries in general, we can see that it's safe for us to say that it was not bargained for in our interest, or the interest of the workers, the interest of the members. Because with the temporary language that allows permanent temporaries, you give them their own pay scale over 5 years on a 4-year contract, and we won't get into all of the contracts that have done pay progression for 8 years on a 4-year contract, because we all know better than that. I'm sure we're all more intelligent than that. We understand how that can work. But with the temporaries having their own pay scale, their own set of rules, they are being afforded the opportunity at some places, not just General Motors, but other places, the health care. And it doesn't say specifically what kind of health care. It does say what you will be entitled to, but it's unseen yet as to who is going to pick up your health care. And with our brothers and sisters up at NextEar, it says that the temporaries will qualify for the Affordable Care Act. Well, they already qualified for that at those wages, and where they're at, they have already qualified for that. So coming forward with the General Motors temporaries, they use and abuse these employees at such a level that any of us that have 20 years or more, should just be absolutely disgusted with this. And, you know, we don't know how we can figure out the tally on the counts, the votes, but it's hard for us to believe that we would do that to our brothers and sisters in the union. And, because we sure didn't get a whole lot out of this whole contract. The seniority workers didn't get a whole lot. We know they want us gone because, again, the language on the temporaries is pretty clear that they have no intention of hiring a permanent employee anymore. Didn't say skilled trades. That's a different ballgame. But as far as the general labor goes and the blue-collar half part here, they have no intention of hiring anybody permanent ever again. No, there's discussion around how many temporaries each plant has, how many we have. It doesn't really matter. It really doesn't, because the national contract says they can have permanent temporaries now. And it's not a set limit. And the corporation benefits on that behalf. The UAW leadership benefits from that because they get to collect the dues. While our brothers and sisters start out at $15 an hour, we'll never have the chance of getting a permanent job. And the corporation makes that much more profit off of their backs.
The temporaries, I feel sorry for my brothers and sisters. I voted no against this contract. That was one of the reasons. That was just one of the reasons that I voted no for this contract. The temporaries are, I guess you could best say, are at-will employees. They are not afforded the opportunities that the Tier 2, I'm sorry, I'm not calling you in progression. Tier 2 workers afforded the same opportunities as they are, or as the seniority workers that we have. I believe that once you have so much time in as a temporary, that you either should be released or hired, period. Not temporary. Either they let you go and they don't need you no longer, or we need to hire you as a permanent employee. But our leadership doesn't feel that way, so the language in the contract has now afforded the corporation the opportunity to do with these employees what they will. And I'm sure Leroy, you probably got a twist on that also, right?
Right. I believe you're correct, Scott, in that the Detroit 3 contracts really have set out that they don't intend to hire on a permanent basis any of the temporaries. They're not required by contract to do that at this time. I believe we got an opinion from one of the shop committee that simply says that that decision's made in Detroit how many would be put into what's called the probationary period. That's that 90-day period. They don't even have probationary period right to a grievance, according to that, because probationary, the first 30 days of a probationary employee, and that's, I think, paragraph 66 and 67 that's covered under the General Motors National Agreement. Deals with the old way we used to get hired in your first 90 days. First 30, you don't have the right to a grievance. Okay, and then after that, you have a right to a grievance, and then you become a permanent employee to the degree that in the current contract, you'd be a Tier 2, a literal Tier 2. You wouldn't be in progression. You would just start and stay at a Tier 2 with a modest increase over the life of the contract if you got hired through the probationary period. But that probationary period, we were told, is not part of the temporary language. So those temporaries are even less than a probationary employee that spends his or her 90 days becoming a seniority employee. They acquire seniority after 90, according to paragraph 66 and 67. As they outline it there. So, but I do, we were asked, I think, in one of the emails to discuss the abuses of temporaries. And I happen to be privileged to know of a horrible case. I mean, just by serendipity through a friend, I'm aware of this occurring. A young man was hired into Bridgewater here in the Lansing area as a contract employee. In other words, an outside company hires you, and then they place you at Bridgewater. So you have no rights, no right to grievance. You're not even, paid by the Bridgewater company. You're paid by this third-party company. While there, he was treated inhumanely. One point, the supervisor came up to him, confronted him, made him stand with attention, and screamed at him for no less than 15 minutes in front of the rest of the employees as they were working. So badly that the committee men, who could not represent him, walked over and gave him a phone number of the Civil Rights Department to call. Later, he was given the opportunity. Now, the employees didn't like him there, by the way. Okay, because he was a contract employee, the he really felt that he was a scab, but he's just trying to, you know, make a living like anybody else. But it's
right.
their system. If you don't want him there as a contract employee, then negotiate an agreement that prevents that. It's simple, brothers and sisters. If you don't want him in there, don't be mad at him or her. Negotiate an agreement that prohibits contract hourly employees from coming into your workplace. That's simple. But this poor young man, trying to make a living, was told to clean out the bins. Now, these bins were about 2 feet square and about, I'm going to guess, 3 feet deep. They were the seats that they make in over there at Bridgewater. And he put
right.
all the components in them, okay? And sometimes the people would come over and play with the components, and he'd have to go back and recheck so that he didn't get in trouble that all the proper components were in each little cubbyhole. But the cubbyholes were about 6 wide and about 5 high, making it, you know, in, you know, 10, 12 feet high, I guess. And so he was told they were having an inspection, and he was told to clean them all out, get them good and clean. So he's climbing up and climbing into them. Here comes the superintendent and calls him out and said, what are you doing up there at that top one? First of all, that's part of his job assignment, to put stuff in it at that level, okay? But his job assignment from his supervisor was to clean these out, make sure they were free from, you know, dust and debris of any kind. And the superintendent called him down and fired him on the spot for doing what he was told to do. There was no recourse. He tried to appeal to the superintendent's, you know, better interests, but he was fired, saying that I'm doing what I was told to do. Still discharged, remains discharged, with no recourse for employment through by and through agreements. This is the way these temporaries are being treated. This is not an isolated incident. It's just one incident that I happen to be personally aware of. And this is a horrible instance. You know, I don't know if I could have withstood myself in the face of somebody screaming at me for no less than 15 minutes, a couple inches from my face. And I did that as a military person, but never lasted 15 minutes. So I'm guessing that some of these autocratic managers in these small parts departments are not educated to the level that they need to be regarding human rights and the rights of workers. And that's the problem with not being vertically integrated. That means everything done in-house, that they've allowed these third-party employers to do all these other jobs, and they're simply not prepared to do it in the way that it needs to be done and treat people with dignity and respect. And I really think that's horrible thing. So that's my take on the temporaries. So, I've been sitting on that a couple of weeks. Somebody asked me to articulate. We thought that young man might even call in and tell his own story, but he's a little afraid because he's a young man trying to get a job, you know, in our
right.
community here. So it's a double-edged sword sometimes when you're just trying to make a living in today's times in one of these plants here. So so it's pretty sad. So I do have some stuff on Volkswagen. Scott, do you have any more on the temporaries that you want to talk about?
Just maybe a little bit touch on kind of what you were talking about. Was this brother, was he a union member?
No, he was a contract employee from a third party, one of these contractor companies.
Right.
You know,
okay.
They used to just do it for, you know, these contract engineers, and then they brought in contract supervisors, and you know how that all went. And
right.
Now they have contract hourly employees on a temporary basis. They're not even, afforded the protection of a contract. And they say, well, I'm working at this company that supplies GM, it sounds good, you know. And, you know, they're making $12 an hour in Cowtown and bootlicking grateful to have a $12 an hour job. You know?
Right. There are management people now at General Motors that are contracted again.
Yeah.
Some of them have been retired from General Motors and they've come back. And I guess I don't hold that against those individuals that choose to do that. That's fine. But understand these temporaries and these contract foremen, they're going to be all basically handled the same way. And if you think that the temporaries are going to have any sort of obligated protection from our union right now, as it appears, they won't get much. And that's sad. And I'm just saying that people need to understand that the temporary language in this contract is just bad news overall for everybody.
Right.
Except for the corporation. And for the IEB. The International Union will still collect their dues from them, but it's spelled out in the contract, basically what they're going to be entitled to, what they're not going to be entitled to. And it's, in my opinion, that they will be treated as at-will employees. Can't do the job, you're gone. Give anybody a hard time, you're gone. Question authority, you're gone. Question the union,
right.
You're gone.
Right. You're right, Scott. I mean, and you know, this is not our opinion. This is an opinion we were given by a member of shop committee. Okay.
Right.
And this is very clear now that he this member of the shop committee said temporaries are temporaries. They do not have our paragraph 66 and 67 rights. That only applies when they make a decision down the Solidarity House, mutually between management, that is something where they say we're going to hire a few of these temporaries. And then they get put into the probationary status afforded by paragraph 66 and 67, and they don't get grievance rights until 30 days into that. Okay, so according to what we've been told, the temporaries don't even have grievance rights. Now, I just think that's horrible. I mean, when you're looking at the number of temporaries that they're going to be using, this is just a horrible thing. And the abuses of these poor people without a grievance right or from a third-party contractor, as in the case of some of these small part IPS parts units of our union, independent parts supplier, like Bridgewater, the abuses for these people are just unbelievable. I mean, you know, what I just talked about, you know, who would want to go through that? You know, I mean, how long can you stand there when you're trying to do your job the best you know how, because you know you're on thin ice, you know, the entire time you're there, and they come up and just berate you, screaming at you. You know, what'd they say? This Arizona prison study said absolute power corrupts absolute power corrupts absolutely. Okay. What they did in this study was put ordinary citizens in charge of other ordinary citizens in this Arizona prison facility. And within 2 weeks, the guards were behaving just horribly towards the inmates, all volunteers to be part of this. You know, it's a pretty famous study, and it just goes to show you if they're given absolute power, it corrupts absolutely. So over a human being, and there's nobody there to check this. This superintendent should have been checking this, and he. I guess it was a fellow. I was led to believe it was a man. Did not check this young supervisors who've been behaving that way towards this human being working for him. Remember, we're not robots. We're still human beings. Okay.
And we still have rights.
Respect. Yeah, exactly. There's human rights. Okay. And so
you have
those
rights
horrible,
as an employee.
Yeah, the research department has clarified my attempt at that quote, all power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Thank you to the research department for clarifying that, that I attempted, poor attempt at. So thank you very much. So, this is just a horrible situation, Scott, and Donnie, and Jeff, with these temporaries. It's just absolutely horrible. I mean, who wants to go to work every day and not know if you're going to work all week, first of all? You know, how do you plan your life around a mortgage? And, you know, and so you guys said, you know, somebody, you know, had 10 years or 12 years as a temporary. I mean, how can you live a third of your life? You don't even have the right to have a 401k at the plant if you're in a temporary situation. And you're not making enough money to put into it really to begin with. So, yeah, you have a job, but, you know, the third of your life, your working career, it's just a horrible situation. Anything else on temporary, Scott?
Well, you know, so much for a fair day's wages for a fair day's work. I mean, that's gone, too, you know, because of their wages. And, you know, we've talked about wages and stuff, and I always come back to, you know, my final say on this is all you have to do is look at, see how much each individual creates the wealth for the corporation, right? I mean, all the arguments are out the window. So, all right. Well, I guess that being said, you know, we understand that temporaries are being misused, mishandled, mistreated. That's been allowed. It's been put into a national labor agreement that people voted for, which makes things a little bit more difficult than temporaries. So with that being said, I guess we could kind of bump around some things that have happened in Volkswagen. I think you were going to talk about that, Leroy.
Yeah, let me discuss a little bit about Volkswagen. You know, they had the big vote back in the spring of 2014, and that went down. The people there went out and formed their own union after that vote went down. So they're attempting to be unionized down there. They just didn't want us, UAW, doing it. They're representing them at that point. And then recently, the IUAW decided to have the skilled trades separated as a bargaining unit and asked that they vote as a bargaining unit. And on December 5th, let me just bring you up to date on what's gone on here. December 5th, the vote took place, I think, the 3rd and 4th and the 5th. It was approved, and that vote went 94% of the eligible voters, 94% voted. And 108 voted for it, 44 against, for 152 of the eligible voters voted. So it passed substantially. It was about a 70-some percent victory for these members, and they want the UAW to represent them. Shortly after that December 5th, Volkswagen said that they plan to appeal the NLRB decision in hopes that the board would reconsider the separation of maintenance and production workers for voting purposes. So they intended to appeal this vote. And then on the 14th, of December, the National Labor Relations Board did, in fact, certify the election. Then on the 22nd of December, Volkswagen refused to come to the bargaining table at the request of the UAW on behalf of these skilled trades workers. So on December 30, UAW file charges with the National Labor Relations Board against VW for not refusing to bargain in good faith. So that's sort of where we are. They did not have a Volkswagen didn't have a spokesperson available at that time. Now that's the last piece that I saw from the Nanuka Times. Now, having said that, I've been told without seeing a piece that Volkswagen has now filed an answer to these charges with the NLRB, but I can't say that for sure. So that's sort of where we're at with all of this. Let me just read the statement that was made by Gary Castile on the 30th when they filed these charges. This is a prepared statement that Gary Castile, the treasurer of the UAW, read. Following this month's election, this is, I quote, following this month's election, we were hopeful that the company would accept the results and recommit to the principles of social responsibility that made Volkswagen a respected global brand. Instead, Volkswagen has refused to come to the bargaining table in violation of federal law. By refusing to engage in collective bargaining after a successful election, Volkswagen is not only doing a disservice to its employees, but now is thumbing its nose at the federal government as well, end quote. And again, there was no, at this time, a Volkswagen spokesperson could not immediately be reached Tuesday morning for more information. So that was last week, as you know. Now, again, I'm told, but I can't find the article where Volkswagen responded to this filing by the UAW. They've been in negotiations and talks, not negotiations, but talks with Volkswagen all along since that neutrality agreement, election agreement / neutrality agreement that was signed back in January of 2014 that had the two parties hooked at the hip with the principle and purpose of bringing in German-style works council into that facility. So far, we haven't seen anything like that. And I said, as I said, they have another unit that has been formed by another group of employees that have formed this other union, and they're both vying for a 50% plus one. A majority whereby they would be wall-to-wall once that occurs. And so far, neither, to my knowledge, has come up with 50% plus one. They both remain a non-majority union at this point. It used to be called minority union, but they changed that here about 10 years ago. That's been changed in the National Labor Relations Act as well. So small changes, subtle changes like that occur from time to time. Non-majority union. Both of them remain that way. So they're at loggerheads over whether or not this can be split into a separate unit, even though there's still Local Union 42 members. You know, in our Constitution, we have Article 19 that allows them the separate negotiating and ratification privileges as a skilled trades unit. So that's something that we do in the Detroit 3. Let's see how well it fares down there in Volkswagen. I really don't know how this is going to play out other than we'll just sit and wait. Both sides have been, friendly and unfriendly at different times in all of this. I guess it goes to speak to the idea of how cozy you get to management, and management still has the pen that signs all the checks. So being cozy with them is a little dangerous, in my opinion. So we just do our job and represent the membership, and UAW leadership does that, then we'll be all fine. That's what we're supposed to do. Everybody should play their position. You know, we all want to try and have higher wages. That's the goal in lower working hours, fewer working hours. That's the Constitution says higher, ever higher wages and ever lower hours. And to do that, you know, you want the very best. It takes the very best. And somebody reminded me over the weekend after MSU lost horribly to Alabama, congratulations, Tommy, you did it. But somebody reminded me.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You guys got 62 four- and five-star players, and Michigan State has 23 four- and five-star players. But you saw what that means in that game. So, but right. I digress. Let me get back here. Congratulations, Bonnie. I'm eating crow right in front of everybody here. I'm an MSU fan. So. But my friend who played for Michigan State, a Big Ten champion back in the day, a couple of friends along those lines, one was a national basketball champion, and one was a Big Ten champion in football. And we're both from Youngstown. So he reminded me, he says, you know, you can't win the Kentucky Derby with plow horses.
That's true.
That's an analogy that rings true not only on the football field, but here recently at the negotiation table as well. So
that's
we need to see
very good.
A few new thoroughbreds down there instead of some plow horses. How do you think?
No, you got that right. I know what you mean. Before we left on vacation, we got email from somebody that, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who, that wrote us about either his friend or he dropped out of the union, and they put his name up on a board, everybody, you know, on all these bulletin boards. And I was just reading, thanks to Teresa put this in, about it. A little statement here. Is the UAW really advising its members not to give advice or share tools with a coworker that could prevent an accident or make the job less dangerous? Now that they're talking about somebody that drops out of the union. If the UAW is willing to sacrifice safety for their own profit, then workers may need to do more than just stop out. They may need a new union. And we did get that email, and I was reading this, and it's I think it's wrong for them to do that. And that could start a lot of trouble.
Right. I, you know, there's all sort of ramifications, you know, because you're called a scab, you're called all kinds of names. But in addition to that, it's not in your best interest. It's really not in your best interest, personal interest.
No.
To withdraw from the UAW because,
right.
You know, even though there's some, you know, 60, almost 73-year-old case law out there that says that you have to treat them both the same. But in the end, when it comes time to layoff, when they're having these big cutbacks, the union people are going to be protected and the non-union people are going to go to the street. It's that simple. And if you have 18 years in there and you decide you're so good that you don't need to belong to the UAW, then you withdraw, and then you wind up pretty soon right there on the street with your 18 years, and it doesn't mean anything. You know, I had a member in my plant one time, one of the plants I worked at the end. He'd been really badgering one of the trustees on the plant floor, everybody working on the plant floor, on one particular night, and saying that he wanted to he wanted to work at General Motors, not be part of the union. A lot of what we're hearing today. This is what this man was saying. I said, look down in the eye, and the trustee, come longtime friend of mine from Chevrolet, so I'd known him at that time, you know, some 20 years. And Mark came to me and he said, you know, Lukey's over here saying this about that. I looked at Lukey. I said, you can do that anytime you want to. You can work for General Motors and not have a union. It's called the maquiladoras. It's down there on the border, and they work for 35 cents an hour. There's no UAW down there. There's no UAW presence. And he looked at me, and he just dropped his head and turned around, and he left. And the trustee says, where have you been all night? I've been having to put up with this, listening to this. I says, well, you know, you got to ask. As soon as you ask, you get the right answer, you know. But it's a little laughable because somebody that wanted it to do that was made to look like a fool when it was reality came into stark reflect regarding his wanting to work for General Motors without a union. These are not times that you want to do this. Times right now look okay, but I'll tell you something, the horizon doesn't look so rosy. There's a lot of things going on. We saw housing drop by 10.2% in December. Scott, did you say you had that article? 10.2% housing drop in December. This is the foretelling. This is forecast of what's coming. Last time we saw it in 2007. So you can take those chances, but I'll tell you, you will regret them. On a personal basis, not because of anything that UAW does. And along these notes, okay, we work hard for our dues to pay our dues dollars, okay? And those dues dollars are ever precious with the suppression of wages and the reduction of members. Those dues dollars are ever precious, and we have to have good stewards in charge of our dues dollars. Now, I'm going to tell you, IUAW and leadership at the regional and local level, pay attention now, perk your ears up. There is a settled federal case that opposes Section 7, the abuse of Section 7 of the National Labor Relations Act, the second half of that. Now, I've read it. Now, you keep posting these names out there. I'm just telling you, abide by the law, okay? Abide by the law, because dues dollars will be lost if you don't, and you're supposed to be good stewards of our dues dollars, not squandering them for frivolous purposes. If you want to stop people from leaving the UAW, have them listen to this show and what I just said. Start quoting us instead of demeaning us. It is not in your or the members' best interest to be doing such underhanded things. It's simply not. It's going to cost you money as sure as I'm sitting here. And we don't want you messing around frivolously with our dues dollars. Now, having said that, let me open my little book here, Constitution. Oh, geez, the thing they're supposed to go by.
Yeah. You know,
the precepts of democracy require, this is the preamble, in part, I'm not paraphrasing, but reading, but I'm taking it out of line, out of order a little bit. The precepts, it's actually line 16 in the preamble, if you have a constitutional book. Here we go. The precepts of democracy require that workers, through their union, participate meaningfully in making decisions affecting their welfare and that of the communities in which they live. Okay? And then on the next page, on line 38, if you have a book, the workers must be provided a meaningful voice in maintaining a safe and healthful workplace with decent working conditions and must enjoy secured rights together with a satisfactory standard of living and maximum job security. That's in the Constitution. It says we're supposed to be doing this to you, holding you accountable and helping you make decisions before you actually make them in the best interest of us. I might add.
You're here.
Okay. Us, the retirees, members, the retirees and active members. So having said that, you know, we want to not waste our dues dollars. It's just something that's just not in our best interest. It's just not. I mean, these The research department gave me some supporting documentation on what I just said, but I really don't have time to, or can't focus on two things here at the same time, open that and read the whole thing. So, but for now, we'll let that be said regarding the case and the National Labor Relations Act. Now, I have it pinned here in my computer, the article, or Section 7 of the National Labor Relations Act itself, and it's just something that, you know, gives us the right to organize, elect our own leaders, and negotiate for the best interest of the members. And it also created the National Labor Relations Act. Those are the four things that the Wagner Act did, essentially. And then it also goes further to say that people have the right to abstain from acting or working with the union. So that is not in the best interest. This is not a problem that needs a new union. This is a problem that needs to excise the cancer that's in our union, that's somehow aligned themselves with the best interest of management in keeping them competitive and not in the best interest of members. And I quote Dennis Williams the night before he was elected in a video, still available, said, "We want them to have a house, a car, you know, the job that they have, a vacation once a year, send their kids to college. We just don't want them getting rich." Okay? That's not for him to decide. It's not for anybody in the union to decide how well we do. Your job is to get us the most you can get for us. So that's where that's all at. I tell you something, they bristled me this weekend here. I'll tell you, I had a lot to do over the weekend, and I spent a little midnight oil researching some things before I made my comment on Facebook at 2:30 a.m. I didn't lose any sleep, but I got my sleep, but I did burn some midnight oil to get it done, and I will burn midnight oil every time something is out here wrong, brothers and sisters. That's just how I am. And some of you know me, and some of you know me personally. And I just don't stand for that kind of stuff. Nobody's going to lie about this show. It's simply not going to do it, especially in public. I mean, you know, it's somebody might have an opinion to themselves and say da-da-da-da-da. You start publishing that opinion in writing, it's a whole different matter. Okay? You might not like any one of us on the show or all of us, and that's your privilege. You start publishing things that are absolutely false, that's a whole other ballgame. Okay? And I'm not going to stand for it, me personally.
True.
So wrap your head around that, IUAW. Yeah. So having said that, anything else? I know we're close to an hour here. There's a lot going on, so we wanted to keep it to an hour tonight. You know, it is still sort of the holiday season, and there's works going on and some things like that. So, not to cut not the listeners short, but we didn't talk about keeping it to an hour show tonight. So,
yeah,
brothers and sisters, if there's nothing else, I'll start the wrap up here. Is anything?
Well, go ahead.
If, you know, listeners, if you have found use and value in this show a little bit, notwithstanding my temperament regarding somebody lying about us, but if you found use and value in this show, tell just one other person. We know you're doing that, and we appreciate it a lot. And it's eventually going to come home to bear fruit for all of us. And, you know, I made that promise few months ago after the Chrysler vote. So you just hang in with us, and if you find use and value, you tell us, and tell us by email, and tell one other person about the show so they too can benefit by some of the things that we talk about here. With having said that, I'd like to shout out to Lordstown, down where I grew up, over to Flint, all the locals over there. I started at the Pioneer Hall, the UAW. It's now a head shop. I want to thank the IUAW for that. Thank you very much. all the locals here in Lansing, where I finished my time and served as executive committee, and all the 63 local unions that I serviced as CAP coordinator for Region 1C, both or all three IPS, TOPS, and Industrial Division of the UAW. Shout out to Wentzville. I keep forgetting you. I'm telling you. Shout out to Kansas City and Chicago and Indianapolis, Louisville, Bowling Green, where they make them Corvettes. I got one right here on the pulled off the sheet. I'm looking at it. $106,000. It's a lot of money, but I'm looking at it. I got it all set up. If I make my decision, that's probably where I'm going. Bowling Green, Cleveland area, Lorain, Ohio as well. Tonawanda. We appreciate all the listeners up there. Arlington and the Break Room. We appreciate you a lot down there. You really, really hung with us through all of this here this fall. Appreciate that a lot.
Absolutely.
As all the rest of the listeners did. But I don't want to single anybody else out. Out there to California, the graduate assistants that are part of our union, the University of California, especially Santa Cruz, that we had some help. Had the opportunity to help you there a while back. And there's 20, I think there's 20 units there in that local. So it's quite a nice, large contingent of graduate assistants in California. They have finished their bachelor's and now are working for the university as graduate assistants, and they've unionized out there, and we thank them for listening. So with that said, if anybody else want to, did I miss anybody?
No.
State employees, our brothers and sisters.
Hold on, Jeff. Scott, hang on. Let Jeff say something. He's been trying to get in.
I'm okay. I didn't have no state. Leroy did a good job.
Okay. Okay. I hope you feel better, Jeff. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, Jeff. Hope you do feel better. Our state employees that are covered in the UAW, our brothers and sisters, the state employees, brothers and sisters out there in the SPOs, and the GMCH facilities, and people out there at Ford and Chrysler that are listening to. Shout out to all those brothers and sisters. I think it's about it.
Oh, we've got Canada and Mexico, too. Yeah, got listeners down there and up there.
We sure do. I was going to mention that.
Right.
Yeah,
Canada.
For sure. Yeah. I don't think we ever got an email from Mexico, but Canada we have, and we appreciate
right.
it. And
right.
Scott Larson and Mary Springkowski and a whole crew of people have helped us out. And I'm glad Jeff Brown is back on the show. He's part of the show, and we're glad to have you back. I'll tell you that, Scott. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
He wasn't treated very right the last time, and he's definitely a big part of the show. I appreciate him being back. And Leroy, the new year, and we're glad to have you. Absolutely
Thank
glad
you.
To have you on the show.
Thanks, Don. And I hope you, I know you're not doing well either. I hope you and Jeff are both, and Teresa, everybody seems to be down with this pneumonia or bad cold or even this fibromyalgia flare that Jeff's having there. So I wish everybody good health. I hope I don't get it, but it probably comes at some point.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not. And Scott and Jeff, you keep working. Jeff, I'm not counting you. Scott, you keep working because you work for General Motors. You keep working to pay my pension. And then carry to buy it, miss the day. keep our pensions rolling in, fellas and ladies, and we appreciate it, us retirees. And we hope everybody have a safe week and a happy new year. We really appreciate your being on the show with us and downloading. We got so many downloads and. I wish I could have told everybody how many emails I got. I just couldn't count them all. And I got back with every one of you, and we all appreciate it from this show. And so, Scott, you got to go to work, and
yep.
We're done for the week. How about it?
All righty. I'll look forward to next Sunday, then.
Okay. Later. All right. You guys take it easy.
Night, all.
Oh, you can't. Night,
everybody.
I'm sticking to
night,
the
everybody.
Union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. No, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die. I'm striking for my rights to have a quality life. I won't be swayed at night or day to work for less or lower pay. I'll walk the picket line. I'll carry my strike sign. I'll win this fight. I know I'm right, cause truth is on my side. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. No, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die. Covidian thinks they're tough, they're not tough enough to break my will. I've had my fill of the lies they tell when they spread their stuff. I'll stand my ground. I'll stand up proud. I won't be fooled by company's fool. I will sing out loud. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. No, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die. No, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. No, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die. No, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union.